Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Doc of the Town. Guess who's here? Our friend, Dr. Garrick Olson. He actually has so many irons in the fire. He is a physician with the Allina Clinic. However, he has been doing extra stuff on the side. Tell us all about it.
Well, for the past couple of years, I've been working with a group called Refined Skin MediSpa that's been out of Rochester, northern side of Rochester, and out of Red Wing in the St. James Hotel. And the newest expansion is we've put a little bit of outpost on the frontier here in Hastings, where I've started doing about one Saturday morning a month here, just to see how that would go. And what we do there is fillers.
And where's that, please? In Hastings?
Oh, in Hastings? That's at the VUE Studio.
V-U-E.
V-U-E. Yeah, they're doing lash extensions. And I looked around for a while to try to find a good spot in Hastings that would be a good fit for someone who could do Botox, fillers, injectables, that would be an aesthetics practice. And there were a lot of clinical type settings, but I really wanted to have something that would be more of a spa type aesthetic. And Danielle certainly has done that with VUE Studio in downtown Hastings. A lot of people have experienced Botox, and some of them haven't even talked about it. But some of them who've had Botox done
are forced
want to talk about it.
Are forced to talk about it on the radio.
Why don't you tell me what your experience was when I invited you down to the VUE Studio?
You did. Yes. So you recommended that I try Botox where?
Well, I started with was the usual FDA-approved sites, which for most people, their favorite spot is between the eyebrows. And that's where a lot of people are having their angry lines, or there are a lot of different nicknames for them. The 11s when there are two vertical lines, or just the one when there's only one. And that's people's usual favorite first spot to try Botox. For you, we also did a bit across your forehead and around
because
the crow's feet area.
I've been worrying forever, so I had these lines. Do they just come, is that a fallacy that you get worry lines in your forehead?
No, it's really quite true. And there's a blend of how dynamic are the muscles, so how strong are the muscles, and that's coupled with how much elasticity has your skin lost over time. And these are all so individual that I've treated people who are in their early 30s that have way more wrinkles than they should at their age, and they're seeing me to try to prevent them from getting any deeper. People like that usually have very strong facial muscles. I confess that the guys that I treat usually have much stronger facial muscles than the women I treat, and they usually need more Botox to get a more smoothing of those wrinkles.
And why is that?
Well, just more testosterone in the body.
Okay.
We're just prone to having more musculature wherever it is, even if it is in some place that I don't really want to be more muscular.
Sure.
So there's that. And then everybody loses the collagen and the elasticity of their skin at different rates. A lot of times this is familial, and a lot of times it's based on how dynamic you are with that part of your body. So if someone is always scowling and frowning, they're going to be more likely to be creating more permanent lines in that frowning area between the eyebrows. And that's one of the things we differentiate when we're looking at a candidate for Botox is, what do you have for what we call dynamic lines? That's when you move, what lines do you get? Versus static lines, where even when you're not moving, they're still there. Now, Botox is terrific for knocking out your dynamic lines. And we can do that without making someone appear frozen. You still move your face. You still have expression. You don't look like some of these bizarre pictures that we get from Hollywood of people that have done way too much. But we have a harder time dealing with the static lines, the lines that have already been there from pinching and pleating the skin for so long that they're somewhat worn in. Those do tend to soften over time, but I would never guarantee that they would go away just from Botox. Usually requires some other treatments too.
So you also treated my, what they call crow's feet. I like to call them laugh lines.
Yeah,
right?
And some people just laugh a lot. And it depends how they express while they're doing it, too.
Mm-hmm.
So some people squint a lot when they laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And some people open their mouth wider when they laugh.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a
very
different.
And some people just say, oh, that's funny.
Yeah, and say, oh, that's different. Next. But I wanted to bring this up because of a couple of things. You know, I wanted to hear more about your experience because you and I haven't really talked about this since I was in the View studio with you, and we did a little over 20 units of Botox for you in all those different areas.
Okay, so I was a little nervous, and I wondered what it would feel like. I thought it's a needle, right?
It's a needle. It's a tiny needle. It's like the ones we use with people with diabetes to inject themselves up to 5 times a day.
So it did not hurt. I mean, it felt like a little pinprick or something, but no, it didn't hurt. And afterwards, I wouldn't have known anything had happened. I went back to work, actually.
So you had no bruising?
No.
You had no swelling?
No, none of that. No. And I really didn't notice anything different until I was putting makeup on, and I could feel a little difference. So that was amazing. So thank you.
Yeah, so for most people, it takes them about 10 days, 14 days for it to really wash in.
And what does that mean, wash in?
Well, the act of the Botox, it's onobotulinum toxin A. And this is something that's secreted by the botulism bacterium, Clostridium botulinum. And so that toxin, when taken as a large dose in food, can cause you to get paralysis all over, including things like your breathing muscles. And that's why it's dangerous to consume botulism as part of food. So we avoid it. One common place that we avoid it these days is in raw and pasteurized honey. Honey seems to have a tendency to take on some of these Clostridia organisms. Yeah, so that would be kind of raw farmer honey.
Okay.
If you're getting the one that's in the plastic bear that's pasteurized and much more, you know, those have really been worked on. So those have been pasteurized and purified, so they don't have the bacterial load in them. But the raw honeys, and people are really fond of that type of
honey.
And so we have a restriction where we recommend people not feed that honey to children, small children, about 1 year old or younger, because their bodies are so small that even though there's only a tiny bit in it, it might be enough percent-wise that it might overwhelm a kiddo. Whereas in an adult, raw honey is not dangerous at all.
Okay.
In fact, it's quite tasty.
Okay.
So, and we don't really have a problem like maybe our grandparents did with dealing with cans of food that have become overpressurized because the botulism is in the can and pooching it out. Where we were always told growing up, never buy a can that has a side that's dented out. But that the food service industry has gotten so elaborate and technical with this that it's really not a modern issue. It's just more of a historical nuance.
So Botox is something that you do as part of your aesthetic medicine. And then what are some of the other things that you mentioned you do?
Dermal fillers. So over years, decades, we lose some of the substance of our cheeks, like the fat pad, the thickness of the skin with the collagen. We even lose bone from our face as we age.
We do?
Bone. So there are multiple different kinds of fillers. These are all made out of, modern fillers are mostly made out of hyaluronic acid, which is something that is typically in our skin anyway. This is a synthetic version. And we inject it into places where people have hollow spots. Like a lot of us will develop what we call tear troughs, where if you look at the inside of your eyes and then draw a line toward the corner of your mouth, you'll see that there is a little bit of a dent there that wasn't there 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And with very, very little filler, I can make that smooth out and give you a much more rounded appearance to the cheek without making you look completely inflated. We're back to that weird Hollywood thing.
Right.
Which is a cultural thing. My boss at the Refined Skin Medi Spa lives in Southern California. And culturally there, when people go to get Botox or fillers done, they aren't trying to look like themselves, but better. They're trying to look like they had something done. For them, it's a status symbol. They want to be able to show people that they've had, that they can afford to do this. And it's not really that expensive if we look at what sort of minor tweaks that we can do. People that are doing that much, it's usually very expensive because they're doing 5 syringes of filler, where usually I can get really nice results out of a single tube of filler.
So when you decided to get into this medicine, was it something that you'd thought about for a long time, or what really piqued your interest?
Well, it started off, I had a friend who had been in a very bad car crash, and her injuries were, she was the passenger, the car was hit from the side, and her head was pushed through the side glass in the car, and then sort of raked back and forth, so that she had a lot of scarring along her cheeks, forehead, and the right side of her neck. And all that had healed, so there's no longer any problems with that, but she went to an aesthetics clinic, and they were able to use a little bit of Botox, a little bit of fillers to smooth out a lot of this. And I was first very impressed by the change in appearance. This made her look much, much less scarred. But what was more surprising to me then was how much better it made her feel. She had much more confidence. When people have had a kind of injury like that, it takes away some of their self-esteem. Mm-hmm. And this was a way for this group to give her back some of that self-esteem that she'd lost. And when I saw how that could change how someone feels, I was very impressed. And I started to want to learn more. So took a course in California, and then I spent a year with Refined Skin in what I call an apprenticeship year, where I had a lot of supervision from my mentors, and I'm now not under that supervision. I'm just freewheeling there on my own. But I feel like I've had an excellent education about aesthetics through the clinic and through my previous didactic training. It's really great seeing how we can change how people look and how people feel. I wanted to talk a little bit about the people in Minnesota that do Botox, because there are a lot of options for us. In Hastings, there's a dentist that I heard that does some Botox, kind of as a part of working around the mouth and some of the aesthetics dentistry. But otherwise, it would be just me and this dentist. In Woodbury, you get into seeing a lot of different medi spas that have options of doing Botox. And in Minnesota, you're allowed to do this if you're a dentist or you're a registered nurse, a physician assistant with the appropriate supervision, a nurse practitioner, a DO, another type of medical doctor, or an MD like me. And you just need to feel like you've had the proper training to go on. And the cost of getting Botox done is dependent upon what I call the where, who, when, and what. So that's going to be based on how much you need to get injected. And for most people, it's between 20 and 30 units. And that can give a really nice, very natural look without freezing somebody and still being allowed to move and be expressive. When is, if you time these things about every 3 or 4 months, it seems to be about when the Botox is wearing off. So we'll start kicking in at about that 2-week mark after the toxin has started working on the nerve transmission to the muscle to keep it from releasing that acetylcholine transmitter. And then the muscle will soften. It won't be getting stimulated anymore. And then who's doing it? Very often, people are paying more to see an MD or a DO to do it as a doctor. And they often get a less expensive deal when they're seeing a nurse practitioner. Even within Refined Skin Medi Spa, we have a different charge for the doctors versus our nurse practitioner, who is remarkably talented. Usually, if someone is seeing a plastics doctor, it's not the plastic surgeon that's doing the Botox injections in an aesthetics clinic there. It's usually their registered nurse or someone else in the clinic that's doing the Botox, because they really just want to have the surgeries. If you do the math out on how much it costs for most people to get Botox and doing it about every 3 or 4 months, it works out to be the same cost as getting a latte from Caribou every day. There are other uses for Botox, too. I mean, people ask about migraine or blepharospasm,
yes,
bladder spasticity, leg spasticity. These were all some of the more original uses for Botox. And I even have some patients who are getting the migraine treatments elsewhere through their neurologist. And those are, there are a lot of hoops to jump through. But if you're a good candidate, people can get their insurance to pay for the Botox for migraine. But that's exclusively in the FDA-approved sites, which is like a halo, a crown around the top of the head. I have some patients that come to me after they've seen their neurologist, and they say, okay, Dr. Olson, finish off the rest, because they get a very, very smooth top of their forehead, and the rest of their forehead is moving way too much compared to the smooth area they've got on top. So I see some people who have migraines, but usually it's not for their migraines. And there are some people that never got the insurance approval for their migraine treatments, and I do a much less amount of Botox and can give have excellent results for them. The Botox done for migraines is usually more on the order of 100 units, whereas most people for just facial aesthetics can get away with 20 to 30. Another thing I'd like to bring up about Botox is that it's always diluted. I remember somebody was asking me, is there diluted Botox? And the answer is, well, yes, they're all diluted because it comes as a powder and we have to add sterile saline to it to get to a right concentration. And then based on the concentration, we know how many units are going in per tenth of a milliliter. So we use very small syringes, and that's how we measure it out. So most places are getting it so that 0.1 milliliters is 4 units. There are some places that have it more concentrated than that, but we like to use the 4-unit dosing because it gives us more flexibility, and I feel like it gives us more precision, too.
You can always add more.
That's what I like to say. You can't take it out, but you can put more in. And over time, people usually end up needing a little bit more because the skin's laxity gets more so that your muscles are pulling harder against something that is more lax, and you need a little more Botox to even out that tug of war.
Who is a good candidate for Botox?
It's anyone who's starting to get some of the static lines. So if you're noticing that even at rest, your face is starting to get some lines that are there anyway, across the forehead, between the eyebrows, around the eyes, that's a good person to start because we can prevent that from going on and worsening from that. Some people will want to have this done much later in life or earlier in life. Like we were discussing about how skin is so unique person to person that I very seldom will look at somebody's age. I think I need to look at their skin and listen to what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's another really important part about Botox and the treatments that we do. You know, I've been sticking needles in people for decades, so that's not new to me. I know how to do that. But I think what is a great challenge with especially aesthetics medicine is to do a really good job of listening to the patient, because if you're listening to them and they can tell you exactly what bothers them, you can do such a better job for them. And that's satisfying on all sorts of levels. We also do some Botox injections in places that are not FDA approved. So, for example, we can do a little bit of an injection for bruxism or teeth clenching, where we would inject into the muscles along the side of the cheek, and that keeps people from clenching their teeth as much.
You're kidding.
It's really good for those people that wear a mouth guard, but then they end up chewing through it. I don't know if you've met people like this, but that's some bad bruxism.
Yeah.
So mouth guard plus Botox is a great combination for those people. We can also inject these stranding vertical muscles that are underneath the chin that often tent out the chin. They're part of the broad muscle called the platysma, and that can work with very, very few units of Botox. And then even around the vertical lip lines that people get on their upper lip, sometimes just softening those with a little bit of Botox can keep that muscle from pinching and pleating that skin.
It's pretty exciting.
Oh, I am so happy for you.
So how can people get a hold of you if they want to make an appointment at The View or Refined Skin?
Well, any of these places would be the best. Just going through the website. So it would be through Refined Skin Medi Spa. Just search it however you want. And we have the location in Rochester, in Red Wing, and the newest in View. My next day that I'm going to be here in Hastings is November 16.
Well, we hope that a lot of people take advantage of that. And I know you're available to just have a consult, too, if people want to.
Our consults are free.
Yeah.
If you just make an appointment and want to talk about what options you have, that costs nothing.
Doc of the Town, Dr. Garrick Olson, and we love his new venture into aesthetics medicine. Very, very cool. And you are listening to another edition of Doc of the Town on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.